Friends, one of the topics we study in our moral theology course back in the seminary is titled Death and Dying. By the way, the professor who taught us this course, just a very, very genuine man, and I truly respected him. He died of pancreatic cancer just last year. From the time they diagnosed him to the time that he passed was just a month. So it was a very, very sudden death. But he taught us something which remains fresh in my mind even until today. He said, for a Christian, death should be an act. And what he meant by saying that was that we are all moving towards our death. From the day that we are born, we're all moving towards our death. We should make that movement an intentional movement, an intentional act. So he's not saying take your own life. What he's saying is that when death happens, it should not be like death is happening to us, but rather that we make death a free and intentional event. Now, it's not the easiest concept to understand, but let's reflect on that as we go through this homily. Now, today's scripture readings are about death and dying, about resurrection and life. The first reading from the book of Maccabees, I think, is a classic example of the meaning of making death an intentional act. By the way, it's the only passage in the Old Testament where resurrection to life is explicitly mentioned. I don't know if you know this or not, but belief in the resurrection was not an article of faith in earlier Judaism. It's a later development. In fact, as we heard in today's gospel reading, the Sadducees, they were a group who still hadn't accepted the concept of resurrection from the dead. That's why they come with that hypothetical story and present Jesus with a conundrum. Whose wife will she be if seven brothers marry the same woman? Right? Because they wanted to impress upon Jesus how ridiculous it is to believe in the resurrection. So today I would like to reflect on death and dying, resurrection and life, but from the perspective of making our life and death an intentional act. In fact, I've titled this homily, Living Intentionally, Dying Intentionally. Here's my first point. Let's begin with the first reading. As I said, it's a great example of intentionality. In 198 BC, the Seleucid Empire took over all of Judea. And they began to enforce Greek culture on Jewish people. And this paved the way for what we now know as the Maccabean Revolt. So today's first reading narrates the gruesome end of a mother and her seven brothers who were towering examples of faith and fidelity. They freely embraced and intentionally embraced death. However, the intentionality is seen not just in their last moments. And this is the point I'm trying to make. The intentionality is not seen in their death. Their intentionality is seen in their life, how they lived their life. In their life and their death, they were people of faith, of convictions, of fidelity to each other. Their integrity and their undaunted devotion to God is what is being laid out before us. If you got to die well, scripture's telling us you got to live well. So the question that we ask ourselves today is, how are we living our life today? How intentionally are we living our Christian calling? If we live our life intentionally, then our death will also be intentional. But if we let life just happen to us, then death will just happen to us. In my second point, let me reflect on this further, because I think it's again not the easiest of concepts to grapple with. Even I struggle with it. The best way I can explain this is through the life and illness and death of Father Dave. After Father Dave retired, he wanted to rest, he wanted to travel, and he wanted to engage in ministry to the level that he could between Dayton and Trinidad. You know from his preaching, from his life, he was passionate about the gospel, his calling, his priesthood, and his ministry. And then he was struck with pancreatic cancer. He fought hard, but he fought with faith. And he made the community part of his struggle, especially the last year, the last months, the last days of his life. He spoke about the possibility of recovery, but he also spoke freely, openly, and fearlessly about his death. Honestly, when he would talk to me about it, I would feel sad, of course, but I would feel very almost uncomfortable. He was so much at ease with thinking and talking about his death. He met various people, including me, and planned every aspect of his funeral and the funeral liturgy. And he made notes of everything. He never seemed afraid or in doubt. But it wasn't about his last days. It was his life that prepared him to face the last days in the way that he did. It was his attitude, his faith, his absolute trust in God during his life, through his illness, till the very last moment that made it special. It was about his intentionality. I hope it becomes a little clear as I talk about Father Dave. It was about his intentionality. He made his life and death an intentional act. So folks, whether we like it or not, whether we are terminally ill or not, we're all moving towards that final moment on this earth. Making our death a free and intentional act is not so much about preparing our funeral. That's not the point. But it is about intentionally living our Christian calling. Each day, living it prepares us to face our death intentionally. In my third point, perhaps the real motivation for living intentionally comes at the very end of today's gospel reading. Jesus says, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Think about that statement for a little bit. For to him all are alive. Now, I don't know if this is true of you or not, but this certainly is true of me. When I think of my life, I think of it as two different phases, almost two different lives. So I have my life here on earth, right? And then I die, then I'll have my new life. I don't know if you fall under the same temptation. But if we reflect on the words of Jesus, it almost seems like that for God, death is immaterial. Death is non-existent. As far as God is concerned, our life is one seamless existence from our conception all the way to eternity. So for God, it's not like we have this life, then we die, then we have the next life. No, for God, from the moment we are conceived, It's one seamless life all the way into eternity. This has deep implications for us. For if indeed all are alive to God, then we are not waiting for eternity. We are here in eternity. Eternity began at our conception. Eternity does not begin when we die on this earth. Eternity began at our conception. The life we are living now is not merely a preparation for eternity. The life we are living now is eternal life. For to God, all are alive now and forever. This means we have to live carefully, isn't it? This life is our eternal life. Live gently, live carefully, live lovingly, take care of yourself. But it also means that every other person who I encounter is living eternity. Which means I treat them well, I treat them right, I treat them lovingly. Don't mess around with folks, guys, because we are messing around with eternity. God is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to God, all are alive now and forever. So may this Eucharist today be a celebration of our eternity. This is established by God. This is an eternal celebration. He who is on the altar is eternal. And in Him we have eternal life now and forever. People of God said. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. And once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is a chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope, Dennis our Bishop, all the clergy, and all your holy people. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. Amen.